If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Mondays at this time, we get a house call from Dr. Kevin Most, the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Lots of coronavirus questions. And Doc, are you ready with some answers?
Always, Bob. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Hanging in there. And like everybody else, it seems like more questions every day about the virus. We keep hearing about exercise and how that's good for your immune system. I heard some medical expert talking about the lymph nodes and just a brisk walk being so good for your system. Can you explain that? What's the connection there between our lymph nodes and exercise and our immune system?
Sure. So, you know, we know our heart pumps blood and the blood circulates. And we know that when we exercise, our heart rate goes up and our blood circulates more. That's the blood side of it. The lymphatic system doesn't have a pump. So the lymphatic system, which has many parts of our immune system, actually needs motion in order for it to move. So when we get up and we're moving around more, our lymphatic system works better, and we get more circulation of all the things that are going to be presented from the immune system from the lymphatic. So any kind of exercise at all is definitely going to help that.
All right, bottom line, you don't need to work up a big sweat, just move, right?
It is. It's more about movement. You know, the big sweat and exercise more about your heart, but in these times when we're concerned about our immune system, just any movement at all is at least going to get our lymphatic system moving much better because, like I said, we don't have a lymphatic heart that's going to pump. It actually takes our body's motion to make sure that that system moves more.
Should we be concerned about the exchange of money? I know a lot of people are using credit cards and the Apple Pay system, whatever that is. But what about when we get change back and we handle money these days?
Yeah, I'd be trying to minimize that as much as you can for a couple reasons. One, you're getting now something from the teller again, so you don't know what the teller has been handling as far as, especially think in a grocery store where they're handling a lot of things. And then the money that you're getting back in change is a connection from whoever that individual was prior. So you don't know whether that individual was coughing, had felt good, was sick. So the change of money in a retail situation happens very quickly, and that virus could still be essentially on the money. So I'm recommending people use credit and debit cards and try to minimize any chance of any outside exposure.
Is this serology test we keep hearing about where your antibodies are going to be checked to determine whether you've had the virus or not, is that going to be the game changer? And how soon is that going to happen?
Well, it's potentially the game changer. What we're going to be able to do when we have that test in mass quantities is we're going to be able to test people to see if they had the illness before. Now, there were people in January who had infections, went to their doctor, tested negative for flu, negative for strep. We didn't know what it was at that time. Probably COVID positive. There's many other people who had very minor symptoms, never went to a doctor. Probably COVID positive. There's people who are asymptomatic who now. So those individuals are going to be able to identify that they fought off this illness because they'll have antibodies. The bigger question, Bob, is how long will they last, those antibodies? And will this be something that will give us protection for a year, 2 years? Or is it just going to be a few months, often like the common cold is?
Is that going to be an expensive test? Do we know?
No, I don't think it's going to be expensive at all. The ability possibly to even be doing it at home is what the goal would be with just a couple of drops of blood, similar to diabetics who test their blood sugar. Could it be expensive? It really is going to depend. There's so many people trying to make it right now. The cartridge itself is going to be the cost limiting, and hopefully the federal government's going to step up and say, you know what, we want to test as many people as possible, so we won't have a charge for this.
Here's my prediction, Doc, based on all the interviews, all the reading. You tell me if I'm crazy. Well, I am crazy.
I mean about this.
Not, yeah.
Right? Okay.
I mean, am I crazy about this?
Yeah.
The immune test will be out there. very soon, and some people will be immune. And once we have that, once we know who's had the virus, and some people can be on a sort of graded, gradual basis, some people can be maybe allowed to get back in circulation. Some of the restrictions could be loosened, and that's going to happen somewhere in May. What do you think?
I think it's probably going to happen more in June or July, but it is important because two things happen there. One, it's going to allow us to prioritize who's going to get a vaccine when eventually that comes out. And two, it's going to allow us to lower people's anxiety as far as, hey, you've had this illness already, you have protection, don't worry about it. And it's going to allow us to make sure that we have people that have had the virus and protected working in areas with vulnerable populations. So it's going to be something that we're going to use from a defensive measure as well as an offensive measure going forward.
We're talking with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Doc, we were talking a little while ago about getting some sun, getting your vitamin D up there. Why is vitamin D so important? We're talking about foods and vitamins that help our immune system, and I keep hearing over and over again about how vitamin D lowers the risk for respiratory illness, and if you're talking about virus and infection, vitamin D is what you want. Is that the most important vitamin at this stage of the game for us?
Yeah, probably B, C, and D are the most important. You know, D has, not only does it help with the immune system, growth of the immune system, but it also makes our cells more stable. And when we have viral infections, what happens is the virus gets inside our cells and starts to replicate. So vitamin D definitely makes those stronger. And then vitamin C, one of the antioxidants, you know, that helps break down the virus quicker. So both those vitamins are very important. And good that you got outside because, you know, this time of the year, we're starting to see more sunlight. But, you know, coming out of the winter, we've depleted our vitamin D often because it's a fat stored vitamin, but without a lot of sunlight, if you weren't taking a supplement, you've probably blown through all your stored vitamin D and you need to replenish that.
Yeah, the sun is going to come out later, even though it's going to be cold, so stick your face in the sun. I guess you can also get vitamin D from fatty fish like salmon and milk and some foods.
Correct. We've been fortifying milk for about the past 40 years, if I'm not mistaken, and then salmon and the fatty fish, absolutely a good source of omega-3s for your heart as well as vitamin D for your immune system.
I saw this headline over the weekend. Israeli COVID-19 treatment shows 100% survival rate. Do we know what they're doing over there, Doc?
Yeah, you know, Bob, that was a really small study. It only had 6 patients in it, and what we're finding is any kind of medication or any kind of compound that can decrease some of the immune system response. We say, wait a second, I thought we wanted a good immune system response. What we're finding out for some individuals here is that the immune system response is too big, and it gets what we call ARDS, acute respiratory distress syndrome, where we fill the lungs with fluid and we essentially drown because of the body's response to it. So it's not so much the virus, but it's the body's response. In Israel here, what they found was that this certain placenta-based drug would stop or slow down the immune system, which is exactly what we're seeing when we're looking at medications like hydroxychloroquine and remdesivir, you know, some of those that are going to slow down that immune response.
Another headline that caught my eye, and I want you to explain this, smoking weed may increase your risk for more severe complications from COVID-19. Really?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things about marijuana right now that everyone needs to be aware of. People who have smoked marijuana know that they have essentially a chronic dry cough. Well, what are one of the symptoms that we're asking people to look for is a chronic dry cough. Without a filter, like the cigarettes that people smoke that have filters, at least some of the toxins are removed. In marijuana, that's not the case. So there's more damage to the lung, causes inflammation. This is one time that you do not want to have your lungs inflamed at all. The chance of you getting the virus is fairly high. If you now get it and you have inflamed lungs, the chance of you getting bad is a lot worse. So this is a great time for people to stop smoking, not only marijuana, but to stop smoking cigarettes. And then also it kind of changes the way you think. Certainly we live in this high world of anxiety right now. Decreasing the anxiety is one thing, but when you decrease anxiety, you sometimes forget about awareness. And we want to make sure that you're aware of what you're looking for in the symptoms that we want you to tell us about.
So it's not just marijuana. Don't smoke anything. It's all bad for you, especially now.
Absolutely. This is the time to stop smoking cigarettes. That chronic bronchitic who coughs all the time, you know, two things are happening there. One, we already know your lungs are inflamed because you have bronchitis. Well, you certainly do not want to get this infection on top of your chronic bronchitis due to the inflammation.
What about mail and Amazon boxes, packages we get? Do we need to take extra precautions with those?
No, you know, probably not. People that are anxious, then go ahead. You know, anything that's non-perishable that you don't worry about, set it aside for a day. We live in this world of I need it today, and that's why Amazon Prime, but do we really need it today? So if you're concerned, set it aside for a day or two. The virus is not going to live on that. The chance of it being on there is extremely low. We're telling people to not come to work if they're ill. So unless that mail carrier coughed on it before they delivered it or the Amazon driver coughed on it before they got it, the chance of a virus being on that is extremely low.
Yeah, that's why people, I think, are a little freaked out about that because they're thinking, well, what if he did cough on it?
Yep.
But then I guess if you just don't touch the package for a bit, you'll be safe? Is that
well, absolutely.
It?
Yeah, you think about it. In order for that to happen, the driver has to cough on it. You have to touch it. Then you have to touch your face all within a few hours. So, you know, if you're really concerned, open the box, take whatever the contents are out of the box, put the box in the garage, wash your hands. The only vector is your hands. And if you clean them after you've handled that, the chance of you of getting it from the box is about zero.
Yeah, it comes back to wash your hands with soap and 20 seconds and all that. Keep doing that. Steve's got a question.
Dr. Most, a lot of single people like me out there wondering, first of all, can we handle this if we get it ourselves and have to stay at home and treat ourselves? Is it too much for one person to handle? And what should we have in our medicine chest at home to be able to do that?
Yeah, Steve, you know, there are a lot of people out there that live by themselves that say, wow, if I get this, what is going to happen? The main thing is to be aware of the symptoms. So, you know, if you get it, you're a young, healthy guy, you might be able to fight this off without any bad outcome. But we need to make sure that people understand if you get this, then boy, you want to make sure that if you get short of breath, if you start to get those fevers, talk to your doctor. And that would make a trigger to come into the emergency room. A lot of people are going to get over this by themselves, but then those individuals, we want to keep them out of the grocery stores, out of any other outside environment where they could expose themselves to others. So having enough groceries or having your groceries delivered, having friends drop off food for you, trying to isolate yourself and quarantine yourself because we want to contain it within that one individual.
Dr. Most, we're hearing from a lot of people who ordered food over the weekend. They picked up food. They had it delivered. And they're also concerned about those food packages. Same rules apply to what you were just saying about Amazon boxes and the mail in our mailboxes?
Yeah. You know, people have a higher anxiety for food because they feel like, well, wait, this didn't get packaged 3 days ago and sent. This was just made, hours ago or very shortly. You know, again, it's going to be, all right, get it out of the package, put it onto your plate, take the package, throw the packaging away, and wash your hands. That's if you want to really lower your anxiety as much as you possibly can, do that. You know, washing these containers and doing things, you can do that, but why? Why not just take it out, wash your hands, now the vector is gone, and really the chance of it being there is almost zero.
When you and your colleagues and the medical professionals and the doctors see the news from the weekend, see the numbers in Illinois, where they are now versus where they were a few days ago, what are you thinking? Are we very, very close to getting down the hill on the other side now?
You know, Bob, I would say we're cautiously optimistic. You know, even here at Central DuPage, we had a little dip on Friday, but then had a little run-up on Saturday. So our numbers have stayed pretty flat. I think probably the biggest message that I'm giving our doctors and our staff is, you know, when you're in the community, do everything you're supposed to, because as a healthcare professional, your neighbors are looking at you saying, oh, if Dr. Jones is doing this, it must be okay. So we can't let our guard down now outside in the community. I can tell you our guard is very high inside the hospital. So although we're optimistic, we still know that we're not out of this by any means. And if we were to let our guard down, we could see a big spike again, because it's not gone. It's just slowed down.
Dr. Kevin Most, our thanks to you as always for the good info, Doc, and to you and your medical professional friends there, our thanks and gratitude for the great work you folks are doing right now.
Well, Bob, thanks for at least giving us the opportunity to answer some questions, because there's a lot of uncertainty out there and a lot of concerns, and anything we can do to kind of straighten people out or at least give them an idea of what we're all thinking is definitely helpful.
We'll be calling on you again when you least expect it. Have a good day.
Take care.